Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Daled. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Daled at the end of the line, Gufa. This is a quote of that which had been mentioned earlier, by the way, and here we will focus on it. The topic heading that we've assigned to this section is found in the margin under the heading No Say, She'ilas Rav Bevai Bar Abai. We're presenting Rav Bevai's question. Hidbik Pas Betanur, someone who had attached a bread dough to the inside of a hot oven. Mahu shenatirenu l'radoisa koidem shiovolidei chiyuv chatos. Can we allow him to remove the bread from the oven's inside wall before it bakes? In other words, before it comes to a situation where he will be in violation of Shabbos. Baking is one of the molochos of Shabbos, one of the forbidden activities. And baking is violated when the dough starts to reach a certain level of baking. So before it reaches that level, one who had put a bread dough on the oven's wall, can he remove it? In our previous shiur, we mentioned that in general, the removal of bread from an oven wall is a melocha de rabbonin. It's ridui hapas. It's classified as something that's forbidden to do, we'll say more accurately. Can he do it before he comes to being in violation of a Torah prohibition of that of baking? So the Gemara, boy Rav Bevai Bar Abai, hidbik pas betanur, person who has stuck some bread to the bread dough to the inside wall of an oven, hitiru lo rados akodim shemoli dechiv chados oilo hitiru. Did the rabbis allow the removal of the bread before the owner comes to a situation of a violation of a chiv chados, which is another way of saying a violation of Shabbos? Or lohitu, they don't permit. Amar Rav Acha Bar Abaye l'Ravina, hechi dummy. What are the circumstances? I lema b'shogeg v'lo idkale. If we're talking about a case where someone put the bread into the oven unknowingly. In other words, he forgot that it was Shabbos. And he didn't remember that it was Shabbos before it got baked. So, Laman Hitiru. So, who is the... To whom would we have made some type of allowance? Who would be asking, to begin with, about what to do? After all, you just said that he forgot that it was Shabbos, and he didn't remember until after it was baked. So there's no issue here. The Elolav, rather, what are we talking about? The Ader V'idkar, the person who put the bread in, remembered before it got baked. Well, if that's the case, then mi mechayev, then would he be chayev to begin with a korban chatos? The question of Rav Bevai had been, can we allow him to remove the bread before he comes to a situation that he'll be chayav a korban chatos? the bringing of a sacrifice, a sin offering, for a Shabbos violation. But if he remembers that it's Shabbos before it got baked, then he wouldn't be chayiv to bring a korban chatos because of the rules of chatos. The Hotnan, the Mishnah says, "Kol chayve chatois einon chayovin ad shtei tchiloson shgoga v'soifon shgoga." A person doesn't bring a korban chatos until the original act was done without awareness. In other words, he had forgotten that it was a problem, and at the end, he still had not remembered. Rashi says, "Tchilasa v'soifa, tchilas hamalacha v'soifa, lo noda, lo shigigasu ad shenigmar avera." He didn't know before, and he didn't know till the end, till the avera was actually completed, that it was Shabbos, or that this was a problem. So that can't be the circumstances behind Rav Bevi's question either. Elo b'mezid. So maybe Rav Bevi's question is talking about a case where he put the bread in knowing that it was Shabbos. Well, if that's the case, then the language that was in the original question is not accurate, but rather it should have been Kodem Shiyavo Lide Isur Skila Miboyale. Rav Bevi should have been asking, if someone put bread in knowing that it was Shabbos, can he remove it before he comes to an Isur Skila, before he comes to suffer a death penalty? Omar Rav Shilo, Le'olam B'shogeg. We are, in fact, talking about someone who did the act of putting the bread in unknowingly, that unwittingly, unaware that it was Shabbos or unaware that this was a forbidden action. Ulaman Hetiru. And the question was, for whom were we matir? Lachirim, for others. So the question here is, would we allow some bystander to remove the bread before it got baked? The Gemara rejects this. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. V'chi oimrim lo l'odam chate kedei she'izke chavercha. Would we suggest to someone to enter the picture and do a sin? A sin in this case is the removal of the bread. There's an isur derabonan in removing bread from ovens on Shabbos. Would we allow someone to sin in order to benefit his friend, to save his friend from the chatas obligation? In other words, should we allow someone here to do a minor offense of redias apas in order to spare someone else from being over on Meleches Shabbos? No, we don't. Elo, Omar Rav Ashi. Notice we're continuing our double underlining, which on the side of the Gemara indicates, under our Mivneh heading, we indicated Shlovim Kidei Lahavin Shelas Rav Bevi Imedubar B'Shogeg or B'Mezid. So we're trying to figure out what are the circumstances of Rav Bevi's question. El Omar Rav Ashi Le'olam B'Mezid. In fact, we're talking about someone who did something B'Mezid. V'Emo, and restate it, the question, to conform to these circumstances and say, Kodem, will we allow the removal of the bread? Kodem shiavu lidei isur skila. Rav Acha brei derava masni lo behedya. Rav Acha has a different version, a more direct version of Rav Bevi and the issue of the bread, and it's presented not as a question but as a statement. Omar Rav Bevi bar Abaye, hidbik pas betanur, a person who put bread into an oven, hitiru lo l'radosa, kodem shiavo lidei isur skila, we allow someone to mend his ways, to undo his action, before he comes to be guilty of the death penalty. Poshat he'oni es yodo. The Mishnah described someone who put his hand in to a different rishus, and an item was either put into the hand or taken out of the hand. We saw in the Mishnah people coming to be considered over in violation of Hilchis Shabbos, of Chutzah. Amai, why is there Amai Chayav? Why is it if a person standing in the Rishus HaRavim sticks his hand into a Rishus HaYochid and takes something from the hand of the Baal HaBayis and then withdraws it to where he is in the Rishus HaRavim? Why is he Chayav? Why is he considered in violation of Hilchis Shabbos of Chutzah? V'hobu inon akir v'anocha me'al gabi mokom dalet al dalet v'leka. Do we not require that in order to be in violation of Chutzah, the act of akira, the removal and hanocha of the placing, must be on a surface, removing from a surface or placing on a surface of 4x4 tefachim veleka? And that is not the case in our Mishnah. We're talking about taking out of someone's hand or putting into someone's hand. A hand does not measure 4x4 tefachim, and if that's the case, so then the one of the basic ingredients, requirements of Melechas Chutzah is not met with. You now see a series of triangles, and this is explained under our Mivneh heading in the margin. Nisyonos Lahasbir Mishnosenu Money. We're going to try to explain the Mishnah. Who is our Mishnah authored by? Demashma detana demashasenu lo boy shehei mokoim dalid. It sounds like our Tana doesn't require this in order for Chutzah to be violated. Doesn't require 4x4. Me'achar demechayev behiniach biyado ubenotal himenu. After all, we see chiyuv Chutzah from our according to the Mishnah, because of the placing in or the removal from a hand. Omar Rabbah. So here's the first approach. Ha money. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. In accordance with Rabbi Akiva, Diomar Lobo Inon, Mokom Arbo Al Arbo. That in order to be in violation of Chutzah, one doesn't need to remove or place on an area measuring 4x4, a surface measuring 4x4 tefachim. Disnan. In order to illustrate this point, we have a Tanaic source. Hazorek mirshus hayochid lirshus hayochid urshus harabim beemtza. One who throws an item from one private domain to another private domain, and there is a rishus harabim beemtza, a public thoroughfare in the middle between these two private domains. Rabbi Akiva Mechayev v'chachomim potrim. Rabbi Akiva feels that he is guilty, he's in violation, and the chachomim hold that he is exempt. Now, Rabbi Akiva Sofar, Amrinan Kluto Kami Shuhun Chadamya. Rabbi Akiva says that he is guilty because as it passed through the public domain, it is said in your mind's eye, not in reality, but in your halachic mind's eye, that once something is caught, kluta literally means caught in the airspace, it's as if it came to rest over there, even though it didn't actually rest. Rabbonan savri lo amrina kluta kemishuhun chadamya. According to the Rabbonan, we don't apply this principle. So the Chachamim Potrin makes a lot of sense. It was very easy to understand. This person simply went from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. He didn't change the nature of the domain that the item was in. So you don't have a problem of being Moitzi Mirshus LeRishus. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, since in your mind's eye the item is said to have been caught or stopped in the Rishus HaRabim, you in effect have the transferal of an item from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. You might ask, well, what about the Dalet al Dalet issue? So here you see, Rabbi Akiva does not hold from the obligation or the necessity of something being in an area of Dalid al Dalid. By way of our markings, we have used a diamond around this phrase, Rishus HaRabim Be'emta, so as to be able to easily contrast this particular Tanaic source with a source later on where you have someone throwing from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaRabim and a Rishus HaYochid Be'emta. That will appear later on Dalid Amud Beis, on Amud Beis of our Daf. So there will be a contrasting case. As you can see, we have arrived at a possible resolution to authorship of our Mishnah, namely Rabbi Akiva. And what were we looking for? That for the violation of Hoitzah, you don't need to have the item doesn't have to be on a place measuring 4x4 tefachim. You'll notice that we have a long bracketed section, and the length of this bracket is highlighted by the bracket length indicator, the dashed dotted vertical line you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you follow this line, you'll see that you're going down more than halfway down Amud Beis. After the brackets, the Gemara then objects to this answer. It says, V'dilma, the Gemara says, V'dilma hanocha hu delo baya, ha'aki rabaya. Maybe all Rabbi Akiva says is that you don't have to have hanocha, the final resting place of an item, to rest on 4x4 tvachim, but the initial removal of the item, as we've said in the past, when you're dealing with Hoitzah, you have to have an Akira and an Anocha. The uprooting, the removal of the item, must be from a location measuring 4x4 Tfachim. Maybe that is what Rabbi Akiva holds. Rabbi Akiva's, we'll call it stringency here, and not requiring that is only with regard to the Hanocha aspect of things, but maybe for the Akira end of things, the beginning of the Malacha, the item must be taken from an area, from a surface measuring 4x4 tefachim. And our Mishnah, on the other hand, doesn't require that, even on the Akira standpoint. After all, in our Mishnah we were taught, the Oni reaches in to a Rishus HaYochid and takes something from the hand of the Balabayas. And we saw in the Mishnah that's considered Hoitzah, even though it wasn't Ne'ekar, it wasn't taken from an area measuring 4x4 tefachim. So at that point in the Gemara, this suggestion that we've learned right now, that our Mishnah might be according to Rabbi Akiva, that will fall away. What about the brackets? What about the bracketed section? So we have a little note on the in the margin of Dalet Amud Aleph. You can see opposite the last line of the Gemara, there's a starred note. Sograyim l'shem dilug. The brackets here are for skipping, like we just did. Kedei lishmor al retzef hachashiva. To show, to maintain a continuity of thought. Demiyad achareim haGemara doicha es rabba. Immediately after the brackets, as we demonstrated, the Gemara rejects Rabba's answer. That namely, that our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. B'soicham, within the brackets, HaGemara makshe al hanacha de Rabba pshita de machlokis hatanoim Rabbi Akiva v'chomim avi b'inyan kluta. Within the brackets, we're going to be questioning, is it so obvious to Rabba that the machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan concerned this issue known as kluta, which kluta means that it's caught, the item being thrown from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid is caught in the airspace of the Rishus Rabbim, which indicates that it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. I nechshav kanocha. Is that considered hanocha? So within the brackets, we're going to be questioning this what appears to be Rabbah's certainty. The Gemara asks, and this piece is also classified by way of our markings as a long question, and that's the kuf that you see encircled with the descending vertical dashed line, which takes you down almost halfway down on the base. L'neimra de pshita le l'Rabbah, are you suggesting that it's obvious according to Rabbah? De bekluto kami shahum chodamya ubesoich asora pligi. We're here at the top of Amud Beis, that the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in the source that we read was dealing with an item within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, and it was passing through the Rishus HaRabim. V'ha mibaya boi la Rabbah. This was something that Rabbah himself had asked, the boy Rabbah. Rabbah questioned. And you'll see here, Rabbah's question is broken down to Aleph, Oy Dilma. A few lines later, you see Beis. And here we have two sides of Rabbah's doubt. Rabbah asked, the boy Rabbah, Lemato me asoro pligi. Is it so that maybe Rabbi Akiva and Chumam are arguing concerning an item traveling within 10 tefachim over the Rishus HaRabim? Ubaha pligi, and the point of machlokis would be Rabbi Akiva Savar Kluto Kami Shun Chadamya. Something passing through the airspace is as if it's caught in there, and that would be its Hanocha. The Rabbanan Savri Lo Amrino Kluto Kami Shun Chadamya, and the Rabbanan disagree and say that, after all, it's in a state of flight. It's not caught there. We don't say that it's viewed as if it's caught and stopped. That the fact that it's in the airspace, we don't say kamisha huncha, that it's as if it stopped and came to rest there. Avol lamalo me'asor divrei kol poter udekuli almo lo yalfinun zorek mimoshit. However, if something were tossed from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid through a Rishus HaRabim above 10 tefachim, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Akiva would agree, that he's exempt. And the reason for that is that we don't learn the laws of Zorek, which is what the source is dealing with, from the laws of Moshit. Moshit literally is to hand something over. But we have to be more specific. Imagine you have two balconies built onto the side of a building, and they're above a public thoroughfare. The balconies themselves are a Rishus HaYochid. And the two balconies are along the side of the same building. And as I stand on one balcony, I take a stick, a rod, or something like that, something that's long, and I hand it over to someone standing on the next balcony further along on that same side of the street. Beneath the balconies, as we said, is a thoroughfare. That action is called moshit, and it is forbidden to do on Shabbos. And the reason for that is that a similar action was done in the construction of the Mishkan. And on Shabbos, construction of the Mishkan had to come to a halt, including all the activities needed for its construction. So moshit is a process or an activity, a malacha, that takes place above 10 tefachim, and it is forbidden. But we're pointing out here that that's when you're dealing with moshit, when you're handing something from one to another. But throwing an article from one to another is different, and we don't learn Zorek Mimoshit, so that even though Moshit might be forbidden, though you're above 10 tefachim, Zorek is not forbidden. Since, of course, let's just to repeat, since you're doing it above 10 tefachim. Oy Dilma, or, this is Rabbo's second side of the doubt, Lamala me'asora pligi. The case in the source where Bikiva and the Chumim were arguing was where the item was thrown above 10 tefachim over the Rishus HaRabim. Ubaha pligi, and the point of controversy would be as follows, and not forgetting for a moment that Rabbi Kiva is strict, is stringent in his ruling. For Rabbi Akiva Savar, Yalfinon Zorek Mimoshit. For Rabbanon Savri, Lo Yalfinon Zorek Mimoshit. Rabbi Akiva, who's stringent with regard to the case of throwing, is because he will learn the rules of throwing from the rules of Moshit. For Rabbanon Savri, Lo Yalfinon Zorek Mimoshit. And the Rabbanon say, no, they are two different realms. However, if you are throwing something within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, once again, you're throwing from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. If it's within 10 tefachim of the 10 hand breaths of the floor of the Rishus HaRabim, Divrei HaKol Chayov. Everyone would agree, even the Chachamim would agree, that he is guilty. My Taima, why? Amrina, because we would say Kluto Kami Shehun Chadamya, something in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim is as if it's come to rest there. According to the second side of the of Rabbo's doubt, then the case of Kluto Kami Shehun Chadamya is not just Shitas Rabbi Akiva; it's everyone. The Gemara responds and says, "Holo kashya." This isn't a question. In other words, that on the one hand, in our Gemara before the brackets, it seemed that Rabbo was certain that it's Shitas Rabbi Akiva, not something that's unanimous, but it's only Rabbi Akiva that holds Kluta Kamishun Chadamya, like the first side, like the Aleph side of this doubt. And we see, on the other hand, that Rabbo is not sure. So this isn't a problem. Boser de Eboye, other Ipshitale. Originally, he did have this question, but after he raised the question, he then resolved it. The Savar Rebbe Kiva, Kluta Kemishun Chadamya. Rabbo then resolved that it's not a unanimous opinion, it's Rebbe Kiva's opinion. And with that in mind, so Rabbo then, with regard to our Mishnah, was able to say that our Mishnah that doesn't require Dalet al Dalet, it's because it conforms to Shitas Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara now rejects V'dilma anochahu de lobaya. It could be that Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that you don't need to have the hanocha end of things on a surface of 4x4 tefachim. Ha akirabaya, but the removal of the item, the initial removal of it before the hotzah was done, the initial removal must be from a surface of 4x4 tefachim. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, even with regard to Akira, does not require 4x4 tefachim. The Rashi explains why we are rejecting thusly. In other words, on what basis are we saying that Rabbi Akiva doesn't necessarily require Akira from Dalet al Dalet? Doesn't require Hanocha, but would maybe require Akira. Rashi explains, if it were so that Rabbi Akiva does not require either Akira nor Hanocha to be on Dalet al Dalet, then by throwing something through the Rishus HaRabim, if you say Kluta Kemishun Chadamya, so Hanocha doesn't have to be on Dalet al Dalet, therefore the first stage of things from the initial throwing from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim, through the Rishus HaRabim, that would be one Maisa, one action. But as it continues flying through the Rishus HaRabim and eventually to Rishus HaYochid, would you not be able to say that since there was a Hanocha in the middle of its flight in your mind's eye, the continuation of the flight would essentially be another Akira and then the final Hanocha in the next Rishus HaYochid? If that were the case, then Rabbi Akiva would actually say there are two acts of Hoitzah being done here. First, from Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim, where it's caught, so to speak, coming to a stop. and then the continued flight, all of this is of course in your mind's eye, then the continued flight would be the Akira from Rishus HaRabim with the eventual Hanocha in the next Rishus HaYochid. That would be two acts of Hoytzah. And yet Rabbi Kiva does not indicate that there are two acts. Therefore, we feel that we are able to reject the authorship of our Mishnah based on ascribing it to Rabbi Akiva, because according to our Mishnah, there should have been two Chiyuvim, and Rabbi Akiva does not indicate that there are two Chiyuvim. Elo Omar Rav Yosef Hamani. Rav Yosef presents his opinion as far as authorship of the Mishnah. It's Rebbe he. It's in accordance with Rebbe. At this point, we want to find which Rebbe, which statement, which source in which Rebbe appears would be the basis for our Mishnah. You can see we've used a double underline marking and explained on the side under our Mivneh that the double underline highlights the words Ilemo and Ela. Shlavim, these are stages, Levarer, Eze, Memra, Shalrebi, Mar'eh, Shehu, Lo, Boi, Mokoim, Dalit. Which statement of Rebbe's shows us that he does not require Akira, Hanocha, to be on a surface of 4x4, and hence reflecting our Mishnah. Ilema, hey Rebbe, which Rebbe is it? Ilema ha Rebbe. If you say it's the following statement of Rebbe indicating that he does not require 4x4 tefachim for Akira Hanocha, Desanya Zorak v'noch al gabi ziz kol shehu. A person threw a distance of 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, and it landed on a minor protrusion. Rebbe mechayev v'chachamim potrim. Rebbe says that you have a violation of Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. In addition to transferring an item from one domain to another on Shabbos as being an Isser Hoytzah, there is also a prohibition of transferring an item or displacing an item 4 amos or more in a public thoroughfare. And the Isser of Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim also requires Akira and Hanocha. You picked it up at the beginning of the 4 amos, carry the item ahead another 4 amos in the public thoroughfare and put it down. So here we have someone standing in Rishus HaRabim throwing something a distance of 4 amos, and it lands on a minor protrusion, a ziz kolshehu. Rebbe says he's guilty. What do you see? That Rebbe does not have a 4x4 tefachim requirement, and yet there is violation. The Gemara rejects this. Hasam, the case of the ziz kolshu, kidabayinon lemeima likamon kidabaye. That case will be explained interpreted or defined by Abaye. The Amr Abaye will say later on, hacha beilon ha'imed b'shus hayochid v'nofo noite l'shus harabim. The case involved a tree whose trunk is in a private domain and has a branch jutting into the public domain, v'zorak v'noch hanofo, and the thrower in this picture, in this particular case, threw the article and it landed on the branch. The branch does not have the dimension of 4x4 tvachim. However, the Rebbe Savar Amrinon Shodi Nofo Basri Karo. Rebbe says that you envision the branch as being defined or established by its Ikaro, by the trunk. Rabbanan Savri Lo Amrinon Shodi Nofo Basri Karo. Let's glance at Rashi, a few lines from the end. Shodi Nofo Basri Karo. If we view the branch as being defined by its trunk, even though the branch is in the over the Rishus HaRabim and the trunk is in the Rishus HaYachid. V'havi kemunach b'Rishus HaRabim al mokoim dalid de'ikr mechashev le'lenof. The ikr, the trunk of the tree, is that which gives significance to the branch. So that the branch is not looked in isolation as a thin branch lacking 4x4 tefachim, but the branch, it gets its significance from the fact that it's attached to a trunk that does have the dimensions required, thereby increasing the significance of the branch as well, to be considered 4x4 tefachim. The Chachamim disagree with that analysis. However, Rebbe, in this case, seems to, in fact, acknowledge that there's a need for 4x4 tefachim. It's just a question of how you come to define it. So, to suggest that Rebbe of this source, Ziz Kolshu, is going to be the Rebbe that would be authoring our Mishnah, that we can't say. Ela ha Rebbe Desanya. So where do we see Rebbe in fact holding that Akira Anocha does not require 4x4 tefachim? From the following source: Zorak Mirshus HaRabim Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaYochid Be'emtza. Here we have someone throwing from one public thoroughfare to another public thoroughfare. In between, there is a private domain. There's a Rishus HaYochid. Rebbe Mechayev HaChachamim Potrin. The Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Mechayev Hoya Rebbe, Shtayim. Achas Mishum Hoitza, V'Achas Mishum Achnosa. As the article is traveling through the Rishus HaYochid, Rebbe tells us that for this act, he will be guilty of two offenses. This is as far as Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is concerned. Rebbe is mechayev two actions. One because of hoitzah, and one because of hachnosa. Well, he started throwing from a Rishus HaRabim. It traveled through the Rishus HaYochid. So from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, that's called hachnosa. Then as it goes from, it continues in its flight from the Rishus HaYochid through to the next Rishus HaRabim on the other side of this structure, that is called Hoitzah. You're going from the private domain to the public domain. What do you see here? You see no Mokum Dalet al Dalet. There's no the item does not come to physically stop on a Mokum of 4x4 Tefachim, and yet you see Rebbe saying that both for Akira and for Hanocha, you don't require 4x4 tefachim. So this would seem to reflect what our Mishnah says. Hence, our Mishnah might very well be authored by Rebbe, and as you can see, Rebbe here in this source would be the basis. The Gemara rejects this. And before we go on in the Gemara, notice we have a Dechia note to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. The word Dechia is written and encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. You'll notice that this Dechia takes you down a number of lines down, Hey Omed Aleph. The Gemara says, Ha Itmar Allah, Rabu Shmuel Damichavayu. It was said regarding this source of Zorg, it was said regarding this by Rav and Shmuel together. We continue at the top of Hey Omed Aleph. Loi Mechayev Rebbe Elo Birshus HaYochid Mekura. The case in which Rebbe says that you are Chayev for Hotzah is only if it was traveling through a roofed private domain, as is the case in a house. So, illustrative purposes, you have a road running on one side of a house, alongside a house, public thoroughfare, and there is this house that has windows that are facing each other, windows directly opposite one another. He aims his throw through one window, it keeps traveling and exits the house through the opposite window, and eventually lands in the next Rishus HaRabim. That is the case that Rebbe is Mechayev And why? The Amrinon, Beisa Keman Demalio Damya, by the fact that it has a roof on it, we say that the house in your mind's eye is considered as if it's filled. Therefore, the item traveling through the house in your mind's eye is on the surface of whatever is filling the house, so that you do have 4x4 tvachim in your mind's eye. Avol she'ena makura lo. If, however, it was a backyard that's fenced in, but it's not roofed, it's an open spaced, open area, rishus hayochid, Rebbe would not say that you are chayav. V'chitema hocha nami b'makura. If you say, well, our Mishnah is talking about a roofed area, so that to make our Mishnah conform to Rebbe, we would say that. Ha tenach b'rishus hayochid makura. That idea of having something roofed and being considered a rishus hayochid, that is quite possible, and that would be by the balabayas. In our Mishnah, the balabayas was the gentleman standing in what represented the rishus hayochid. However, b'rishus harabim mekura mi chayev. If the rishus harabim, in other words, the place that the oni was standing, if that were roofed, would it in fact be chayev? Would that be considered a rishus harabim to mechayev for the from aleches hoitzah? Ve'ha'amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, amar Rabbi Abba Rav Huna amar Rav, hamavir chefetz arba amos b'rishus harabim mekure potter. If one were to do the act of mavir dalet amos b'rishus harabim, which we alluded to before, the transferring of something at a distance of 4 amos in rishus harabim, if it were a covered rishus harabim, imagine something like a major city tunnel. You would have a thoroughfare, which is the tunnel, which is roofed. But if one did that, he would be exempt. It's not similar to the encampment of the Jews in the desert. Digle, literally, are the flags of each tribe. But it's a reference to the Jewish camp in the Midbar upon exiting, during the exodus from Mitzrayim. And it's based on the way things were set up in the Exodus, which was the time during which the Mishkan was constructed. And if the Rishus HaRabim at the time of the Mishkan was not roofed, you can't have the concept of a roofed Rishus HaRabim will not exist. So that you can't use the Makura Pshat to explain our Mishnah for the case of the Oni, because if the Oni were in a Mekura Rishus Rabim, then the Dinim of Hoitzah would not apply. So at this point in the Gemara, we can't say that our Mishnah is authored by Rebbe, namely that Rebbe would be of the opinion that you don't need to have 4x4 tfachim, which would help to explain the Mishnah. The last attempt suggested, well, maybe our Mishnah is in fact in accordance with Rebbe, because Rebbe spoke about a roofed Rishus HaYochid, and our Mishnah is also talking about a roofed location. That will not be a sufficient explanation for our Mishnah, because our Mishnah also speaks about a Rishus HaRabim, and a Rishus HaRabim that would be roofed wouldn't be considered a Rishus HaRabim anymore. As you can see with our markings, we continue in our search for who is the author of our Mishnah that will supposedly say you don't need to have Dalad al Dalad Tvachim for Akira Hanocha. The search will continue, but in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur, this concludes today's Daf Yomi Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.